This is Capitalism 2012.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I proudly present to you, for your listening pleasure, We Heart Music Radio. Brought to you by the good people at WeHeartMusic.com.
This is Bo Canelli at We Heart Music Radio.
This is Henry.
This is your final stop on your Capitalism tour. Tonight in Washington, D.C. Can you tell me a little bit about your tour so far in your 50 state?
It was a good idea, and I'm glad that we pulled it off because it was very challenging. You know, a lot of drives and a lot of cities that don't really have venues in them. So we had to, you know, do some shows in, like, you know, high school auditoriums and, I don't know the right words. Some of the production value is a little strained at times, like, you know, PAs that weren't all that great, monitor systems that were less than good. But the audiences were amazing every single night. Not one of these cities made me regret going. Not a single one. So that was really cool. That was the biggest upside, was the audience.
That's awesome. Were there any cities that you haven't been to, or have you pretty much covered the national?
Well, I've been to all the states before, but not necessarily all the cities. I've never been to Juneau, Alaska, or Helena, okay, Montana, Bismarck, North Dakota, Pierce, South Dakota, Dover, Delaware, Salem, Oregon. I don't think I've been to Salem. There's at least like 5 to 8, Frankfort, Kentucky, never been there before. But places like, you know, Tallahassee, Florida, sure, Boston, Massachusetts, that's like every tour.
Yeah.
In Washington, D.C. tonight, which isn't a capital city, but, you know, I go here, you know, I do every tour, I do go through Washington. And
yeah.
And so all these capital cities that it was my first time in, Carson City, Nevada, that was the first. But they were amazing. And
yeah.
And every single time we finished the show, I'd look at the road manager and go, wow, that was worthwhile. And, you know, we want to put it on the list for, see if we can get back into these places in 2014.
Are there similarities between the cities? That, I mean, of course, all have a different scape, but
there's a similarity in the look of a capital city, I've noticed, in that, you know, there's the Capitol building, and every one of them are just really beautiful and quite different. But you're usually working, the show that night is downtown, and a lot of these capital cities are very small, and it's all about the Capitol building, the local, you know, government. And some corporate concerns. Like, you know, there'll be a building with a Hewlett-Packard logo on it. You know, so that's where the corporate offices are. And by 6 p.m., you know, the streets are fairly empty. It's odd.
Mm-hmm.
You walk around Sunset in these kind of corporate ghost towns, in that the buildings are tall, and there's just no one there. The Starbucks is closed. The Subway sandwich place is closed. It's like a lot of those downtown places that get the crunch during the day. But past 5:30, it's done, and everything rolls up. So you walk outside like, well, there's no place to eat around here. And so it's been this interesting 2 months of just walking around these kind of empty places, except for like Boston or Minneapolis, St. Paul. When we got there, it was one of the first days of like, wow, everything's still open. the internet isn't slow, where it just became the usual. Can't get online, can't find any food, and we're in the
capital.
That's
insane. Yeah, that's really...
A lot of capital cities, like, you know, you think of California, you think of everything from wine country to surfing, but Sacramento, the capital city, it's brutal, man. It's just, you know, trash in the streets. And I play there every tour. It's one of those places that I always do Sacramento, but it's one of the tougher venues. Like, you know, Hartford, Connecticut, rough neighborhood. Trenton, New Jersey, capital of New Jersey, oh, forget it. You know, serious crime, with a police force that's been cut by 38%. You know, we interviewed a police captain at the police station there the other day, and you see what they're going through. I mean, it's all these cities, you know, they're very challenged, and it gives you a great deal of respect for what they're going through, what they're trying to accomplish, and what they're up against.
I got to put up with a lot of people who I disagree with on every single level, except we might agree on Led Zeppelin pizza.
I think two things are at play here. One, an awful addiction to the sound of my own voice to a great audience to be with, and that would be you.
Henry, before we run out of time, can you tell me a little bit about Take Part TV and how you got involved with them?
Well, there's a guy who runs it who used to run the Independent Film Channel, and so I did 4 years of television over at IFC, and so he contacted mm-hmm. me before this tour started and said, look, you know, I know what you're up to on this tour. It looks like it'll be interesting. And you proposed, you know, how about we bring out a camera team, and we'll just upload a thing every single day. And I looked at the workload that it would be. You know, it ended up being a fair whack of work every single day. But I thought it'd be really a good way to make this tour interesting. I had it in my mind that it would be worth it. And I was right. It was worth it. So we said, yeah. And so we used a production company that I've worked with before. And so one of their cameramen has been out with us. Well, two of them, we brought one out for like one half and spelled him and brought in the other one for the second half. And they're actually both in D.C. right now prepping the venue for tonight's broadcast.
So tell me something about some of the people you've had to interview for Take Part TV, and how diverse are they as far as not just music, but, you know, arts and stuff?
Well, we interviewed yesterday. I interviewed a triple amputee who has two kids. He's got his right hand, only one eye works, and he has a cochlear implant in his right ear because he's deaf in that ear. So he's in a wheelchair with one limb and two kids, single dad. So he his life is very challenging. And so I interviewed him for a while about, you know, what happened to him and what his life is like now. We interviewed a veteran of World War II who's in the Battle of the Bulge. We've interviewed local mayors. We interviewed the mayor of Sacramento. We interviewed the mayor of Pierre, South Dakota. We've interviewed truck drivers, professors, fishermen, realtors, people who do straight up business, just like local people. We interviewed citizens, like after the show, we find some people at my show. You know, you want to talk to me? Sure. Put a mic on them. And I asked them questions about everything from, crystal meth problems in their town to what's going on. Yesterday, or the day before, rather, in Trenton, I interviewed the police captain about what they're going through in Trenton, and, they're having a tough time. So it's been really interesting. Interviewed fishermen in Alaska, interviewed an ultimate fighter in Hawaii, just trying to get a different slices of life.
Are you exhausted?
On these tours, you have kind of a normal daily level of exhaustion. It's kind of always in your eyes, in that your eyes ache, and you're always looking for like 5 or 7 minutes to sit and do nothing, to where you just don't have to run and do something. So you live in these little pockets of like obligation and downtime. It's like go stop. And so, yeah, I'm tired, but it's a feeling, it's like being an alcoholic where the guy's drunk, but he drinks to be normal, and so you can't tell that he's drunk. He seems normal, but he is actually drunk. I'm exhausted, but I pass for normal right now because I just spend so much of my time like this. I'll get real tired if you give me a couple of days off.
Yeah.
If you give me a couple of days off, then my body will catch up. Right now, it's the long march to the sea, and you're breathing so hard you don't know you're tired. And so tomorrow's a day off, election day. The next day, I have to get out of D.C. and be back on stage. I'm interviewing a guy named Damian Eccles from a group of young men called the West Memphis Three. I'll be interviewing him
at
the New York Public Library. Yeah, so it'll be me and Damian on stage at the New York Public Library. That was going to be a night off, but they said, hey, you want to get together with Damian and do this? I said, well, yeah. So I'll go do that, and then my New York shows start. I've got 5 New York shows, 3 Chicago, 3 Toronto's, 3 San Francisco's, and 6 LA shows before the thing is over. And so December 2nd, Sunday, when this thing, when I walk out of the last show, which is a benefit show, I chose to do it because, what the hell. when I get off that show and get in my car and drive home Sunday night, that'll be kind of the finish line. But I will be in L.A. that whole week doing, L.A. shows. So I will be getting in my own car and driving to the venue, which is a little odd. It's weird to get up in your own bed and go do a show. I must say, I don't like it. being on the road and not being around something that's familiar, it keeps you in harness. And when you're off the road and still doing shows. Like I'll be doing these six shows in LA where I'll be like literally like four traffic lights away from the venue. I'll be in one little theater for five straight nights and I think some hotel ballroom for the benefit. It's weird to come home from a show and pull into your own driveway. It's just, I've never gotten used to it, but on every tour I do multiple nights in LA at this one place. It's a great theater, great owner, and it's just a really good place to see a show. It's very small. It's like 300 seats. So I'll do five nights there. And within 12 minutes of, you know, saying goodnight to the last person in the alley behind the venue, I'll get in my car and in 15 minutes, I'll be in my own kitchen. It's just strange. And so hopefully, yeah, and there's a lot of distraction. I mean, you're home. There's your records, your books, all your stuff. And us guys like our stuff. Then you have
to go. Do you get people following you back to your home at all?
No. I'm not interesting to anyone in that way. In that, I don't think anyone hates me enough to want to follow me home and kill me. Oh. And no one loves me enough to follow me home and stalk me. I have had people in L.A. One girl put herself in front of my car when I was doing shows at this venue last year, and she refused to get out of the way of the car until I, like, talked to her for a long time. And, you know, I'm not really in the habit of running women over. You know, they made it illegal, so I can't do it. So I had to go, okay, lady, please stop. You know, let me go home. We need to talk. Well, I don't really know you, and you're a little creepy. And I'd like to go home now. So I just had to kind of wait for her to. So she got out of the way of the car and she said, well, you need to drive me to my car so I don't get mugged. And so, you know, there's the guilt trip. And I'm like, really? Lady, come on.
Henry Rollin, I hate to interrupt, but we're out of time. I want to thank you for being on We Heart Music Radio, and you are playing live on the internet. They're broadcasting live from the 930 Club in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. And it's the right price. You can watch it for free.
For free.
I think they'll also for like a couple of days later on repeat. So.
You think you're going to live your life alone, in darkness, in seclusion. Yeah, I know. You've been out there. Tried to mix with those animals, and it just left you full of humiliated confusion. So you stagger back home and wait for nothing. But the solitary refinement of your room spits you back out onto the street, and now you're desperate and in need of human contact. And then you meet me, and your whole world changes. Because everything I say is everything you've ever wanted to hear. So you drop all your defenses and you drop all your fears. And you trust me completely. I'm perfect in every way. Because I make you feel so strong and so powerful inside. You feel so lucky. But your ego obscures reality and you never bother to wonder why things are going so well. You wanna know why? 'Cause I'm a liar! Yeah, I'm a liar! I'll tear your mind out! I'll burn your soul! I'll turn you into me! I'll turn you into me! 'Cause I'm a liar! A liar! A liar! Behind a smile and understanding eyes, and I'll tell you things that you already know, so you can say, I really identify with you so much. And all the time that you're needing me, just the time that I'm bleeding you. Don't you get it yet? I'll come to you like an affliction, but I'll leave you like an addiction. You'll never forget me.
You want to know why? 'Cause I'm a liar.
Stronger than truth. I can't believe I ever hurt you. I swear, I will never lie to you again. Please, just give me one more chance. I will never lie to you again. No, I swear. I will never tell a lie. I will never tell a lie. No. No.
Sorry, can I just ask you one last real quick thing? Do you read when you're on tour? Do you do, like, reading on your downtime?
It's, you know, I have high hopes. I always bring multiple books out with me, and I find that I get very little reading done. Pre-show, I'm too distracted. Post-show, I'm too exhausted. And so I always bring books out thinking this will be the tour where I do a lot of reading. Because in tours in the past, when I was younger, there's a lot of downtime where if you don't have a book, you know, you'll just go crazy. These days, there's just the pre-show day is just so jamming, and the post-show experience is just so flattened. I get back on the bus and I'm just done. You know, when I want to pick up a book, I just don't have the cranial oomph to engage. And so I've had two books with me that I've read a total of like 10 minutes in the last 8 weeks. So I'm very ashamed to say no.
Well, it's a delight to have you on We Heart Music Radio. Thank you, Henry Rollins.
Thank you so much for talking to us.
It's not a problem, and I enjoyed it. I'll see you all down the road. Thanks.
Great, thank you.
Went to sound check. Eyes burning, feeling nauseous, lonely. Still got to play. 3,500 people showed up. The stage was nothing but feedback. I don't know how it was. I was too busy trying to find a place on the stage that wasn't howling. Great crowd, though. Now I'm back in the moist insecticide hotel room. Knee and throat burning, I don't know how I do this. I feel good when I'm alone. I'm the only person I feel comfortable around anymore.